Oh, finally. Okay. Well, good morning. This is day 122. Finally went on. It took it a while to start. Just the time for you guys to look at my molars while I turn on these lights. There we go. Let there be light. So we have, this is day 122. I'm going to keep going with these in the year 2020. Maybe we'll go to like number 1,000 or 5,000 or, something fun, But at any rate, uh-oh. Okay. So, just a little commentary as we step into a new era, and I'm going to quit messing with this. Okay. I shared this illustration this past Sunday. My youngest daughter, when she was born, it was quite a interesting scenario, because labors are long, right? And when the first baby, or this is my third child, when she came, things were moving right along. And you know how that is when you're in the middle of that with your wife, you're having a child, tensions flare, things go crazy. Nobody's really in their right mind, and we apologize for it later, right? And so when she was born, I remember at the one point she was begging the doctor for some meds, and the nurse. And so the nurse called me outside. I'm going to share this illustration briefly. I shared it on Sunday, but just briefly though this time. Anyway, the short version was: is the nurse looked at me and essentially said she can't have any more medicine. She's in transition, and so when she came back, when we came back in, she asked what her medicine was, and the nurse said it's bathroom medicine. The whole premise was that if she began to push in any capacity, that she would have a baby. Well, we went to the bathroom, and that's what happened. And so I got pinned in the bathtub and couldn't get out. All of a sudden, sterile stuff is flying everywhere on the ground. And just to set the scene for you, the bathroom door is wide open. The door to the room, to that hospital room, is wide open, and it has a perfect view to the bathroom. And there she was, right there. So when the doctor did get there, he would certainly know what he was up against because it would be right in front of him. And no need to visualize. But at any rate, when you're in transition, and I talked about this, it's like transitions are extraordinarily messy. They're not neat. And the whole concept of when you have a baby, anything could happen, right? You could go into emergency C-section. That happened with my first daughter. You can go into, it's that place right there at the end where the only thing that's going to happen next is there's going to be a baby. And so once a woman, and I'm not a birth expert, but once there, I've had three kids born, so I've watched this one a little bit. But once the woman is in transition and she's like getting ready to literally push the baby out, there's no going back. There's no, can we stop this for now? It is what it is, and almost anything could happen in that process. And many of us have been in these very long, protracted seasons where we have been in transition. And I talked about on Sunday how there's some things that have marked this transition differently than any other transition in our history. For years, I would listen to prophetic forecasts and I'd be like, ho-hum, like, right. This is the year, this is the year. And they all sounded the same. And when you're in a place, when you've been through the fire 100 million times, you've had your life pretty much leveled at some point, most of us have. And, where the enemy does the perfect storm, tries to take you out completely. When we've been through those kinds of fires and devastations and a long protracted period of time, the impact on the heart is huge, right? And we tend to contend in those seasons from disappointment. We're trying to maintain hope. But some other things happen in those seasons as well. When we get leveled and we get tried and tried and tried and tried, for some of us, the best that we could say at the end of some of those longer seasons was that we were still standing. Our lives went to hell in a handbasket. We were messy. You know, I talked about my wife and I's life. You know, we had a 10-year period where we didn't even want to be around Christians. Our church was the theater, and we enjoyed it every Sunday. And because in those places, Christians are usually the ones that do the most damage, right? Because they don't understand mess. They don't know what to do with mess. And when your life is falling apart on 500 different levels, look at that, let there be light. And you're, and things look really, really rough. That's when the church doesn't want anything to do with you because they can't really box that up real well. You know, we got a 12-step program for alcoholics. We even have divorce recovery. But if your life just blew up or you just lost everything you ever could, that's not what happens to Christians, because most of Christianity back then, we believed that as long as God was in the boat, it was smooth sailing. And then we realized that wasn't the truth, that he didn't spare us from hardship, right? But in those seasons, here's some of the things that happen. We drill deep, and because every religious work that we perpetuated or attempted to try out here, it didn't fly. And we weren't able to build. For a lot of us, I've likened these last 13 years as being, you know, in prison, like Joseph. You know, we've all had our different types of prisons. And when you're in prison, you're not doing the thing that you were made for. Joseph had the dream back here, okay? The dream was the thing that was his destiny. He really was going to be in a position where his brothers and a nation and everyone were going to bow down to him. But the long, protracted process in the middle is the part that he didn't expect. He had great favor in those places. He always became, you know, the boss, even if he was in prison. And he had a lot of favor. He got to see a part of what he was about with the dreams, but he wasn't functioning yet. And I've talked to a lot of people that are probably more in my category in terms of age. We're mothers and fathers of the faith, right? And this includes other people too. And we've been waiting, you know, the song, I've Been Waiting All My Life, you know, Phil Collins, you know, we're waiting for this moment. We're waiting for the time and the place where we actually get to do the thing that we were created for. We're waiting on this convergence of all of the little snapshots of my life and the things I've done where I've partially engaged but never fully engaged in the thing that I feel like I was absolutely made for. That convergence place where all of those come together is already happened. It's now. And we are actually going to do the thing that we were made for. And that's part of what made this transition very different. Most of us throughout the course of our life, when we looked at transitions, it would be like we're coming out of the wilderness period and we're coming into some more life, or we're coming out of this dark place over here. We're coming back into life and we get a promotion in our job or whatever. Most of the transitions we were preparing for in the past were ones that we could pretty much a lot of times see what the outcome was going to be, or it was to go from one thing to the next. And this one is different because we're not going from one thing to the next. We're going to an entirely new landscape. We're in Isaiah 54, where we are the barren woman, because our barrenness can be equated to our prison time. You can call it barrenness, you can call it prison. You could call it a long wilderness. You can call it whatever you want, but it was the period of our survival, right? Where we had to dig deep in our roots because we had to find life in God, and because nothing else worked. You know, we were desperate this past 10 years. And so Jesus reclaimed our lives in many ways for a lot of us. And in that reclaiming, he gave us passion. We fell in love with him again. We contended through multiple fires, and we were still standing. And so a lot of 2019 in particular looked like this. We're going, and bam, hit a wall. Going, bam, hit a wall. Going. It was like the already, but the not yet for the whole year. You know, it's going to run to get there, and that didn't happen, right? It felt like we had a million false starts. Or like we got so close, but yet so far, and the transition was messy. We were in it, but we hadn't actually produced a birth. We were tired. Many of us have been tired. I have said multiple times, my wife and I have said, when you're living in the place where you're not doing the very thing you were created for, you get bored. You know, love kids, love them to death, called to the generation. But as far as setting, I'm bored out of my mind. You know, in terms of wanting the thing, when you're hungering, when you're sitting in this spot, and the thing that you're created for is like right here, okay? You start to feel all of the things that someone feels in the middle of a transition. Uncertainty, fear, you know, wondering what's going to happen. You know, you experience probably some of the greatest battles in those threshold places from the enemy where you really feel like he was trying to take you out. He comes in, he does the smoke screen. We all had this in 2019, right? You know, we had our own smoke screens coming in, you know, with healing things in our family. And it's like the enemy came at us at the very end of this with everything he had. Because it was, he knew, he doesn't know everything, but I think he knew that there was definitely an era that was coming where he was going to lose so much ground because we were walking as manifest sons and daughters carrying great kingdom weapons and that we were going to be on the revival party till the end where there is nothing but an increase and an increase, glory to glory to glory. He has been terrified of this era forever. So therefore, comma, he tried to take you out many times along the way. And I think he knew what was coming. So a lot of us got hit in the places. I got hit a lot in the places of my greatest vulnerability. Things that attacked who I was as a father. And that's really who I am in terms of the generation. You know, a father, mother to the generation, called to launch them. But the part that got attacked on every level for me emotionally was everything to do with the fathering. You know, I went through all kind of places of insecurity, crazy emotional stuff here at the end. And a lot of it was just the enemy. Ping, 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 ping. So my New Year's resolution is I'm kicking the devil out of my head. Because here's the thing. In this era, we really do have to, we are stepping into the thing we were created for. Some of our transitions are in the making. Some of them are, you know, we can't pin down a suddenly, okay? It's never a suddenly to God, but it's a suddenly to us. But the thing that we could do, good morning, Marcia. The thing that we can do is we can know that we are literally like Amos 9, right? Things are gonna start happening so fast. I love it in the Message version that your head's gonna spin. The plowman will overtake the reaper. Like we are in that season and that time where it's going to be like popcorn on the suddenlies. Great transitions, a lot of migration, people making geographical moves, internal moves, perspective changes, where we get to come into some things that we're not prepared for, that we don't have the credentials for, and we become, in essence, a least of these in that sense. Jesus is raising up a remnant of least of these who will carry great power, who will carry the manifestation of the kingdom, signs, wonders, miracles. We've left Egypt behind. That was part of that season. He's pulled the orphan and Egypt out of us so that we now look at every opportunity that we see in God, everything that challenges us. The warfare doesn't scare us to death here because we've been so trained in that fire that when it comes, and we've also learned to trust our God. We've learned in that long protracted season of transition, we had to find him and go into the intimate place and find him, strengthen ourselves in him, and find the love of our life again and find our strength there. And his confidence in his voice again, that still small voice. So we reclaimed that voice, right, in that season. And so one of the things that he has done, is regardless of how messy the journey has looked, take your eyes off the mess. Take your eyes off the things that you're still struggling with. Don't look at those. Look at Jesus and what we're doing in this transition because the enemy came in at the end with a flood and tried to wreck everything about our identity. But there are two things in this era that we have to be absolutely certain with. That is knowing who we are and that we are not going to give the devil any playtime in my head. That it really is time for me to take every thought captive. Because the places that the enemy comes to destroy us the most is when the attack is against our identity and knowing who we are. And this attack comes against who we are, how we were made, how we function, all of those things. If he, and also things where we experience, like where we struggle, where we have failure, etc. He uses guilt and shame, lies and accusation to bombard us and to keep us perpetually in our mind disqualified. The only qualifier is Jesus Christ himself, and he qualifies all of the least of these really well. And so our qualifier is like the demoniac who went and got healed and preached to 10 cities. He is skipping steps with us. We're getting in 1 year what would happen in 10. Part of what's happening in this era is time is being redeemed. It's being condensed. You know, things that would take 10 months are taking a day. And so he's redeeming it by making it denser, thicker, more compact, etc. We are getting repaid for all of the loss that we had in the extremely long transition. And the reason this transition was so protracted and so long was he wasn't preparing us for the next landscape. He was preparing us for the landscape. The landscape that we are in when we are doing the very thing that we were made for. And it's a landscape where everything in it changes. Everything about the way we do church and life and everything changes. It is, that's why Isaiah 55 talks about take your tent pegs and put them out. The enlarged place that we are coming in is so different than any other place and any other promotion we've ever experienced in life. That's what makes this season different. So when we've been through cycles, you know, in the past of getting there, right? And having it blow up, etc. Are getting to the next thing. We're not getting to the next thing. We're getting to the next era that we've just walked into where everything has shifted and changed and is changing rapidly. So he's been preparing the landscape of my heart for the landscape that he's bringing me into. And what he has in us now, as messy as we are, you know, let's just be honest. The irony of how messy you feel is that, number one, we don't do religion anymore, which means I'm not going to buy the lie that I'm disqualified over because my life is messy, right? That's gone. Jesus is radically pursuing us, and everything that he has for us, he is actually abundantly pouring out, and everything is available right now. I am a walking habitation of the Holy Spirit. People do, the atmospheres change, things happen wherever we go, right? So it's a radically different landscape. And the part about this that's going to be very interesting too is it's unfamiliar, right? In previous, when we're a victim and when we're going through the many fires, we look at what the challenge brings and we say, we used to say, why are you doing this, God? In this era, we've been so trained and through battle, we've been so battle-worn and so battle-trained that we see challenges as the opportunity for the God of the impossible to show himself off. This is a place where you're going to show yourself off. Most of us in the big dream and the place that we're at right now, we're in a place where if God doesn't do what he says he's going to do, it isn't going to happen. He has literally set the stage for the God of the impossible to be revealed on the planet so that everything right now is something that he does and not something we can conjure up in religious works at all. If he doesn't bring the transition or the new job or whatever it is that you need or the startup for the ministry, it doesn't happen. He has trained us and prepared us to walk an unscripted life in sync with Holy Spirit's agenda of heaven and to walk in unfamiliar territory as ones who are anchored in him, who know who we are and do not blink and do not flinch when we see a storm coming, because we know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? We know the God of the universe. We are the David with the stone, the small stone, and that giant is just a giant because the unseen real is more real than what that giant is. We've been trained in unseen real. We know that the kingdom reality is bigger. We've been like Elijah's servant where he said, open his eyes and he sees the whole mountains are covered with the army of the Lord. We've been walking in that. And now we're in the place, regardless of how messy the journey has been, where he says to us, I can trust you. Your shoulders are broad and they are ready for a lot more responsibility. And we brought us to a place where we could walk in untethered power, unparalleled power, as ones who were manifest sons and daughters that he could trust to do it. Because we stopped trusting in an outcome a long time ago, and we started trusting in the person of Jesus himself. That's the reason. It's not because we did it all right. It's because we found ourselves tethered to the one that is right and is always right. We tethered ourselves to his righteousness, to his faith. That's what I mean when I talk about identity. That's why in this era, we have to be diligent about kicking the devil out of our headspace. Because here's the thing. I've been in that place the last 2 days, so in case you're wondering. I just want to lay down and cry about every 5 minutes. And because it's like this. You're in the new era. This is the place where you're going to do the very thing you were created for. This is your convergence time. This is a stepping into a much broader landscape where you're not going to feel prepared. You're going to feel underqualified. You're going to be literally walking in the land of giants on every front. But because you drill deep and you know me and you know my voice, I will trust you with big kingdom goods. For many, it's going to be going from places of obscurity to center stage, metaphorically, whatever that looks like in your life. So because we're there, this is the time where, trying to articulate something I've been kind of feeling here. You can't back down. We cannot be intimidated. We cannot back down from who we are and who we are and our identity. We cannot back down. This is a place to walk with great confidence and not fear, because we know who he is. We know that he's larger than every giant, and we know that he is the God of the impossible who always comes through. And this is the era where, as a least of these, a messy believer who has made it through a long season, this is where that weariness is coming off of you. That tiredness in your soul is leaving you. He's taking everything that God accumulated in that season right now. And that's why we feel messy right now. That's why I feel like I've been feeling kind of emotional the last few days. Because right now, it's almost like the last flame of fire from the old season. And he's pulling out all of the residual wound and garbage and unbelief and whatever else was in there, because of the long season. So in other words, he's delivering us into a new place, totally free, with a hard drive that's swept clean and ready to take on an unscripted life, you know, a life that is unfamiliar, and to walk in a landscape that's bigger than we've ever walked in, with a cleared hard drive where none of the little data stuff from the old era is cluttering up the hard drive of my heart. He's pulled that out. And that's what he's doing right now. And so in this place, it is a place for us to go for it with radical boldness and confidence in who we are, and to tear the kingdom of darkness up and take heaven by force and release heaven on the earth. This is the time that you were made for. This is what we're doing right now. And so now we get to walk in the very thing that he has prepared us for, that he's been preparing us for in this long, long protracted season of transition. The thing that I remind myself is this. you're with me, huge way, you're in me, and you've got stuff out here that is going to be so far beyond what I could ever have imagined, that I really am going into the wild party of my life, the place of convergence where I do the thing I was created for, and I'm not turning back, and I'm not apologizing, none of that. I am moving in it. So don't let any kind of residual blah, 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 blah from the enemy right now kind of like distract you from what's going on, because you really are there. And as you move forward and do what you're doing, it's that thing of God's not, we're not waiting on God anymore. He's waiting on us just to step in and do the thing that we were made for. And that's where we're at. So it's a very good place to be. So I'm interested in hearing some testimonies, your stories. If this is helpful, share it. I'm eager to pick up our dialogue again. So I've been kind of off during break, but I'll be doing this much more regularly now again. So day 122 signing off. Blessings, guys.